This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Back again. Sadie's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. A wild weekend of football as we continue to break it all down, and we'll run through the NFL games from week 5. I'll give you my takeaway from all the games yesterday in the NFL. Do that coming up in just a little bit. The Atlanta Braves are batting in the bottom of the third with no score against the Brewers in game 3 of that series. Runs will continue to be hard to come by. And if Atlanta takes the advantage in that series, I mean, obviously, you just have to win one of the next two. You're at home. Braves in a good spot right now. By splitting in Milwaukee, that's all they had to do. It becomes a 3-game series, and you have home field advantage. Giants-Dodgers game 3 tonight. Red Sox-Rays game 4. And Astros-White Sox have already been postponed to play tomorrow. In the meantime, the White Sox, one of their pitchers, accusing the Astros of stealing signs in Houston. Something that they'll never get away from until all those players are gone. No score in the Braves game as they bat bottom of the third. We'll see what happens there. It may take only a run or two today. And Ian Anderson off to another good start. Every Monday on the show, we come in and we break down the games from the NFL slate. And we run through all of them, and I give you my biggest takeaway. Maybe you didn't see them all. It's hard to watch all 15 games or 14 games on a Sunday. Don't worry. That's why I'm here, because I have no life, and I sit down and I watch them all for you. My takeaways from all of the games in NFL Week 5. Let's run through them.
Los Angeles Rams at Seattle Seahawks.
So this goes back to Thursday night. Since then, since we were on the air Friday, Russell Wilson is going to be out for at least 4 weeks, it looks like, because of that finger injury. Two things. Number one, I feel better about myself. Russell Wilson probably suffered a more severe injury. In fact, he did than I did. But we both dislocated a finger. And Russell Wilson had to go see a specialist, and he even had to get surgery, and he's going to be out for a few weeks. I don't wish that on anybody. I'm not happy that Russell Wilson got injured. Don't take it that way. But I dislocated my finger, and now, right, if he went back out there and played that game, or if he went out there this week and played well, I'd look at myself thinking, like, what am I doing here with this stupid little splint on after I dislocated my finger, and I'm still wearing this thing? First night I had the splint on, I got marinara sauce on it. I got some queso on it over the weekend. This thing's a mess. Here's Russell Wilson playing football. But he's out for a few weeks. Which, more importantly, take number two, the Seahawks are now in trouble because they're already under 500. They have some tough games coming up. And Geno Smith, especially with that defense, I don't think is the guy that can get them a few wins. I think by the time Russell Wilson comes back, it may already be too late. In order to keep him afloat, Geno's probably got a win. He's got to play at least 500 football. Say Russ misses 4 games. You got to go 2-2. And you'll still be under 500 at that point at about the midway point of the season. But with Russell Wilson's capabilities, one game under 500, maybe he could lead you on a winning streak. You get hot second half of the year, make a run to the... At minimum, you have to be 500. I don't think Geno can do that. And then to look ahead, what happens if the Seahawks have that disappointing season and maybe finish last in that division? Russell Wilson was unhappy last year when they won 12 games. What would happen if they finished this year 7-10, missed the playoffs? Is he unhappy again? Is Pete Carroll? No. The Seahawks have been moving in the wrong direction under Pete. Earlier I talked about, if your side of the football isn't doing well, what are you bringing to the table? Pete Carroll's a defensive guy. The Seahawks' defense has been lousy since the Legion of Boom left. At a certain point, you know, you're choosing quarterback over coach. You think, all right, we got to get someone else that will help Russell Wilson more. He's going to score points. We got to give him enough of a defense, and maybe that's not Pete Carroll anymore. So this is a big injury for Russ, the Seahawks, and really their future. That was on Thursday. Let's get to the games from yesterday.
New York Jets at Atlanta Falcons.
So this started the day yesterday, that London game. Did you get up early to watch it? I didn't. I slept in a little bit and then caught up on the DVR. Thank goodness for DVR. But a nice win by the Falcons. My main takeaway, number one, Zach Wilson obviously still has a lot more work to do. But number two, more importantly for the Falcons, Kyle Pitts. Kind of the coming out party. Now, Pitts has made some nice plays this year. He was a top five pick, all that sort of stuff. But when you're down Calvin Ridley and Russell Gage, I mean, Pitts was your top receiver, and then next was Cordarrelle Patterson, and third was Tajay Sharp, another bust who's bounced around. Those were your top receivers. Kyle Pitts had not much help around him. And he showed up with 9 catches, over 100 yards, a touchdown, had a great one-handed catch. He looked like that star. That was my concern for the Falcons, was Kyle Pitts. Sure, he's going to be great. I don't know how much you can count on in his rookie year, and then especially if you only have Calvin Ridley at the wide receiver position, it's not a lot of depth there. And when you remove Ridley, all the attention can go to Pitts. And even so, he caught 9 of 10 passes thrown his way, had over 100 yards, had his best game as a young pro so far. That was a big coming out party, especially, you know, in London, long trip, not an easy game in that sense, and kind of a national game. I mean, it was on TV across the country. It was a standalone game, everybody watching, and Kyle Pitts showed out. That was a big spot for the young tight end.
New England Patriots at Houston Texans.
So I took the Texans as one of the picks to keep this game close, and boy, did they. They should have won this game. The Patriots had to come back, score 10 unanswered points in the fourth quarter just to win. Now the Patriots are down a bunch of offensive linemen. They're on the road to Houston. Davis Mills played really well. Tough game for New England, even though the Texans are a lousy team. In the end, Bill Belichick beats another rookie quarterback, although this rookie quarterback had a lot of success against him. And number two, Mac Jones found a way to win. And that's what's important. Is the Texans, are they a good team? No. But you're on the road. You were trailing. You're down a bunch of offensive linemen. Things weren't going your way if you're Mac Jones. And he found a way as a rookie to rally the team and come back and win. The Patriots were down 22-9 midway through the third quarter, and they scored 16 unanswered points to close out that game. So a job well done there by Mac Jones. I look at all the other rookie quarterbacks. They're still raw. They're not, you know, Trey Lance didn't play well. Justin Fields won a game, but, you know, he hasn't played great. Trevor Lawrence hasn't won yet. He's struggling. Zach Wilson played bad yesterday. He has one win this year. But Mac Jones, maybe because of the support system around him, he's the one guy that looks prepared. He's ready. He's not overwhelmed. And he can come back on the road and win a game like that. I know it's only the Texans, but I think that's a pretty big spot there for Mac Jones.
Miami Dolphins at Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Not much to say here. This game was a blowout. Now, Brady usually has struggled against Miami, typically in their building. This time, no struggles. I mean, early on, they were trailing in the second quarter. Okay, fine. Then they put the game away with 17 points before halftime and ran it up in the fourth quarter. The biggest thing here is just Tom Brady. It is remarkable. And I know we talk, or just the media in general, talk so much about Brady, and I still don't think he's getting enough coverage. 44 years old, yesterday against the Dolphins, he had over 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. First time he's done that in his career, he did it at 44 years old. He had 5 touchdowns, over 400 yards, a quarterback rating of 144. This season, he now has 15 touchdowns, so only 2 interceptions. He averages 3 touchdown passes a game, which would put him over 50 on the season. With the extra game this year, he's got a great chance to break the record for touchdown passes and do it as a 44-year-old. I know you're probably tired of Brady. You may be even tired of the Buccaneers. This was a lousy game yesterday that not many people probably even watched, but it is still crazy, the stuff that Brady is doing week in and week out at 44 years old. I mean, he's playing as, at minimum, a top 3 quarterback right now. He may be the best performing quarterback in the league, right there with Kyler Murray this year. It is crazy the stuff he's doing at 44. Yesterday, he set another new record for performance. Statistically, the best performance of his career, and he does it at 44 years old. Good bounce back for the Bucs.
Philadelphia Eagles at Carolina Panthers.
What a disappointing game for Carolina. I mean, the Panthers had this in the bag. We'll talk more about the Panthers coming up in a little bit. But when you're winning by double digits, or I should say multiple scores at home in the second half, especially against a one-win team, that's a game you have to close out. And as Matt Rhule said after the game, they played 4 quarters. We didn't. We did not finish strong. And no, they did not. And the mistakes, too. It's not that you lose a game like that, but it's how they lost it. Sam Darnold has 3 interceptions, including 2 in the second half, including 1 when they had a chance to go drive the field and win the game or at least tie it. They also had a blocked punt that led to the go-ahead score for the Eagles. The Eagles' winning scoring drive traveled 27 yards because they blocked a punt. It's the little things like that. That's how you give a game away. And the Panthers, when they were leading there in the second half, they had an 83% chance of winning that game with 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. 83% chance they found a way to lose. That is a bad loss for the Panthers. They're now 3-2, back-to-back losses. They may try to make sure to get Christian McCaffrey back for this week, and Sam Darnold could use him. Because right now, Darnold, as I've been saying on the show the last 2 weeks, McCaffrey, that's the makeup. And you remove that makeup, and you see what someone truly looks like, and that's what we've seen from Darnold. These last 2 weeks, he looks a little more like the quarterback from the Jets. And plays in the team's trap, he's gotten in trouble. He's like again yesterday. He earned his right to go down the field, get a winning drive put together. He throws a costly interception, and the Panthers cough up a tough one.
Detroit Lions at note of...
Goodness, where to start with this one? At the end of the day, I'm just thankful the Vikings got a win. I got my Vikings sneakers on right now and my Fran Tarkenton jersey, and this was the... The Lions had an 82% chance of winning that game with 40 seconds. The Vikings drove the field for the 54-yard game-winning field goal at the end. It was a crazy game. It was a wild game. It should have never come down to that moment. The only thing I'll say about this is that if you ever want to know how to lose a game, how to hand away a victory, go back and watch this yesterday. This was how to not win a game. When you play to not lose, you don't win, if that makes sense. The Vikings' entire game plan yesterday, the whole day, they were playing not to lose. They were going up against the 0-4 Lions. I don't know if they took them lightly. I don't know if they didn't think they'd be challenged. I don't know if he doesn't trust his team. I don't know what it is. Darryl Johnston was even calling them out by the time we got to the second half. It was ridiculous. The play calling, the decision making, the conservative nature, they allowed the Lions to come back and take that lead in the final minute. That was embarrassing. I have never seen, even in a win, a coach get outplayed. So now he's the defensive coordinator, and the defense played well, but from a game perspective, managing that game, I don't know if I've ever seen a worse performance than yesterday from Mike Zimmer, and I'm just fortunate as a Vikings fan that they found a way to still win that game.
Tennessee Titans at Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, I'm done with the Jaguars, and I say that knowing that I'm probably going to include them in the picks this week as well. I keep doing it. I don't know what it is. I'm seeing a therapist this afternoon about this thing specifically. I can't kick this habit with the Jaguars. I got to go talk to somebody about it. I don't know why I continue to expect more out of Jacksonville every week. And this was the spot for them. I said, this is your season. You're 0-4, sure, but you're at home, extra time to prepare. If you beat the Titans, you're a game out of first place. And they hung in there for the first half, and then the Titans pulled away and beat them by 20. And now the Jaguars are 0-5. That's it. Season's over. Pack it up. Go home. We'll see you next year. This was their chance. I know they were 0-4. You're thinking, what are you talking about? This is a terrible team. That's all true. But if they won that game, they'd be one game out of first. Having won their first game, rallying around the drama of the team. Nope. Instead, the team went out there, laid an egg. That doesn't reflect well on Urban Meyer after he was a distraction this week and his team did not respond well. And then, to pile on Urban Meyer because it just never stops, after the game, you know, the Jaguars did not go with the quarterback run at the goal line at one point in that game, and they asked Urban afterwards, and he said, oh, Trevor Lawrence isn't comfortable with that. He's not comfortable right now. And Urban said, you know, it sounds funny, but that's the thing. The quarterback's not ready for the quarterback sneak yet. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? How's a quarterback not what do you mean? What do you got to do to get him ready? Anyways, of course, they asked Trevor Lawrence about that, and Lawrence said, oh, no. Right? No, I'm good. And so Urban once again got caught in a lie there, trying to defend a lousy decision. And now him and his quarterback, this may not be a big deal. Trevor Lawrence may not care. They may talk it out afterwards. I don't know. But now you have the coach kind of throwing the quarterback under the bus, and then the quarterback coming out afterwards and saying, no, that's not true. Whatever he told you, that's not the case. Not a good look either. The Jaguars are a mess. 0-5, got blown out again at home. They have the second longest losing streak now in NFL history. And after the game, Urban Meyer looked like a bit of a dope once again when trying to throw his quarterback under the bus with another manufactured story for the second time this week.
Denver Broncos at Pittsburgh Steelers.
So I said Friday for the Steelers, this was kind of the last stand for Ben Roethlisberger. I know he was going up against a good defense, but you're at home. You've lost three in a row. They were missing one of their cornerbacks, and the Broncos don't score a lot of points. So it's not like you're going to be in a track meet. And this was the chance for Ben Roethlisberger. If he did not play well yesterday, as I said last week, it'd be time to move on, to bench him. If you lose your fourth straight and you can't move the football and you lose at home to the Broncos, sorry, it's done here. We got to move on from Roethlisberger. And in his defense, he came out and played pretty well yesterday. Had a couple of touchdowns, had over 250 yards. They had some explosive plays, multiple completions of over 50 yards. Ben Roethlisberger played well against a good defense to save the job and to show those flashes. And this must be so frustrating for the Steelers fans, thinking like, where is this? How can we get this now? Where has this been the last 3 weeks? And then next week, watch, the Steelers will go out, they'll struggle again. And you think, well, what happened to last week's performance? Juju Smith-Schuster is out for the year with an injury sustained yesterday. That's a tough blow for the Steelers, but this was a good win for them at home. They had to have this. This was their season yesterday. You can't lose at home to Teddy Bridgewater. And speaking of Teddy Bridgewater, the Broncos had a chance. A goal-to-go situation, down by one score in the end, in the two-minute drill. Stop me if you heard this before, but Bridgewater came up short. He threw an interception in the end zone when they had a chance to go for the tie. If you're a Panthers fan, you know it all too well. As a Vikings fan, I know it all too well. He can get you close, but he can't make those big plays. And that's what happened yesterday. Fourth and goal at the three. Granted, it was fourth down, but they got inside the 10-yard line. They got as far as the 3-yard line on third and goal, and he his last three passes were all incomplete. Actually, his last four passes were all incomplete inside the red zone. Bridgewater can get you close, but he can't make those big plays. That was the case again yesterday. He had a chance on that last possession to go tie the game, four straight incompletions inside the 20, and the Steelers get out of there with a victory yesterday against the Broncos.
Green Bay Packers at Cincinnati Bengals.
This was the best worst game, right? Like, you come away from this game thinking like, wow, what a game that was. But then when you sit back and actually think, you realize like, oh, actually, those were two pretty bad performances. I mean, those were two teams. It was like hot potato. Passing it back. You win the game. No, you win the game. No, you win the game. We had a record number of missed field goals at the end of the game. Five missed field goals in an eight-minute stretch, which is the most we've had in that time frame in 30 years. And both teams have plenty of opportunities. Mason Crosby missed a bunch of kicks, missed an extra point to put us in that situation to begin with. Eventually, the Packers win in overtime, a much-needed victory. For the Bengals, it's a moral victory because you hung in there tough at home against Green Bay. Kind of one of those arrival games. Hey, we're 3-1. No one's taking us seriously. Here comes Aaron Rodgers to our building. Let's show them what we're made of. And they did, even in a loss. They hung in there. They should have won that game. I mean, the Packers could have won that game three times as well, three separate times. But the Bengals had every opportunity to win that game in that fourth quarter. Joe Burrow led them on a tying touchdown drive with a two-point conversion in that fourth quarter. So I thought that was a good spot for the Bengals, even in a loss. And the Packers sneak out of there with a win. Green Bay, I've been saying it all year. I mean, you could call me a hater because I am wearing purple today. They're 4-1. Has any of their wins really been all that impressive? And they needed a last-second field goal for two of them. They were trailing in the second half to the Lions. Even that Steelers game, that blocked field goal, if that's upheld, that's a different game. They beat the Steelers by only 10 during a three-game losing streak for Pittsburgh. Have we seen that complete game yet for Green Bay? I don't think so. They're lucky they got out of there with a win yesterday. That was reminiscent of the game. It was the Jets, if I remember correctly, Jets-Steelers. Who was the kicker? Doug O'Brien, right? Was that his name? And same idea. They missed three kicks at the end of the game. Like, the Jets missed a kick, then the Steelers missed a kick. Then the Jets had a second chance. They missed a kick again, and then the Steelers made the kick and won a playoff game in overtime, if I remember correctly. And that's why the Jets came back the next year and drafted, I think it was Mike Nugent. Who did they draft? The Jets drafted a kicker like, really high in the draft, like second round next year, something along those lines, because O'Brien missed two kicks in a field goal, two kicks in a playoff game. It reminded me of yesterday's game. Both kickers missing. Neither team wanted to win. Eventually, the Packers got it done. And how about the Bengals kicker celebrating on a missed field goal because he thought he made it? Who had to be the guy to tell him, yeah, buddy, calm down. You missed the kick. We're still playing. We didn't win. The Packers found a way to win in a game that seemingly neither team wanted to.
New Orleans Saints at Washington football team.
Washington football team has become the first team, I think only the fourth team all time. Washington football team just became the fourth team in NFL history to allow three straight quarterbacks to throw for four touchdowns on them. And when you look at the quarterbacks, Josh Allen, yeah, I could get that, allowing four touchdowns to Josh Allen on the road. But then Matt Ryan and yesterday Jameis Winston, this Washington football team's defense is bad. They don't have an identity. They don't have their starting quarterback. And this is quite the letdown so far this year for the Washington football team. At home yesterday, they lose by double digits to the Saints, and it wasn't even that close, as the final score would indicate. And Winston gets four touchdown passes. He has a lot of touchdowns, not a lot of yards, not a great quarterback rating. But when you get him close, he'll get you into the end zone. And now they get the Seahawks without Russell Wilson, does New Orleans, as they have alternated wins and losses this year. The Washington football team, they have a defensive crisis over there because that's supposed to be their calling card. And right now their defense is terrible.
Cleveland Browns at Los Angeles Chargers.
Justin Herbert is certainly one of the best quarterbacks in the league. Big time win for the Chargers in this battle for one of the top spots in the AFC. And now these are two of the best teams in the AFC. Here's my main takeaway. Kevin Stefanski, I talked earlier about the poor job done handling a game by Mike Zimmer. Well, Kevin Stefanski was hired after working under Mike Zimmer, and he pulled the same stunt yesterday. The Browns had the football with the lead 3 minutes ago, 3rd and 9, and they run it. They run the football on 3rd and 9 with their backup running back, punt it to the Chargers. The Chargers are saying, thank you. The Chargers get it back with 2:20. They go right down the field for the winning touchdown. And then the Browns get it back, one final chance, and Baker Mayfield couldn't do anything. Two takeaways on that. Number one, terrible clock management from Stefanski. I don't get these coaches. Zimmer did the same thing yesterday. They ran it on a third and down, on a third down, and tried to give the ball back to the other team. Why would you willingly give the football to the other team and give them a chance to tie? I get that you trust your defense. Don't you trust your offense to go out there, make one completion, and win the game? Why just say, you know what? You get another chance. Sure, we could throw it here and win the game, but you know what? We're going to run it. We're going to punt it back to you, and we'll give you another opportunity. And yesterday, the Browns defense allowed over 40 points. Why would you be trusting them against Justin Herbert in that spot? I don't get it. And the Chargers went down there, got the winning score, beat the Browns. That was terrible game management by Kevin Stefanski, typically a good coach. And it shows not only that maybe he doesn't know what he's doing with the clock, but also maybe he doesn't trust Baker. 3rd and 9, game on the line, they hand it off. And then when they get the football back, needing to go down the field to score, it's a bunch of dump-offs. And Baker Mayfield has a QBR of 19 in late and close situations. Average is 50. He's at 19. I'll continue to say it. It's why I wouldn't pay him. He is not good enough in those big spots. It showed again yesterday.
New York Giants at Dallas Cowboys.
I thought this would be a closer game, but it's unfair to judge the Giants based off of this game. Look, the Cowboys offense continues to roll. They're building confidence. They look good every week. They're a real team to be reckoned with here, to be messing with in the NFC. But for the Giants, I mean, this game almost doesn't even count. You lose your running back, Barkley, now, who's going to be out for a few weeks. You lose then your quarterback, who you tie the game right before the half. They tied it right on that touchdown after Daniel Jones gets injured, but now you lost your quarterback. So when you had your starting quarterback, you played the Cowboys even for about half the game. Then you lose your running back, your quarterback. Eventually they lost their best lineman. They lost their top two receivers yesterday. The Giants, by the end of the game, were missing their 5 most important pieces on offense. Yeah, good luck competing on the road against the Cowboys. And on top of that, Tony, right, gets thrown out for throwing a punch after he was having the best game of his season. Joe Judge can continue to sell me on this idea that he's a Belichick guy and his team's very disciplined and he makes them run sprints and the coaches will run sprints when they screw up and this and that. I haven't seen that disciplined team yet. A lot of penalties, a lot of mistakes for the Giants. And yesterday, they started an all-out brawl in Dallas that may get Tony suspended. We'll see, after they already lost their number one receiver yesterday. Tough to take anything away from this game because the Giants, that was like their JV team by the second half yesterday. But the Cowboys, 4-1, get another win.
San Francisco 49ers at Arizona Cardinals.
So Trey Lance was the starting quarterback for the Niners. Let's preface it with that. With that said, for Arizona, this was a good way to win a game like this. Kyler Murray wasn't great. They couldn't really run the football yesterday. San Francisco has a good defense. They found a way to win, scoring only 17 points. That's important because, as I always say in the show, compare it to March Madness, maybe even a pitcher on the mound. You need to be able to win many different ways. You can't just strictly win by throwing the football. Even on offense, you got to be able to win when you can throw it or run it. You got to be able to win as a football team offensively or defensively. You got to be able to win it in perfect weather indoors or in a snow game outdoors. And that's been my concern with the Cardinals. That the Cardinals, kind of like an Ole Miss at the college level, even a Mike Leach, Mississippi State, they can only win one way. And that's when they're able to throw the ball all over the yard. They can't win a physical game running it. They can't win a defensive battle. Their defense isn't that great. But they have a great quarterback who will make plays and throw it all over the place. And yesterday they couldn't, and they still found a way to win. Now, granted, they went up against a rookie quarterback in his first start. A little bit easier to hold the team to 10 points when Trey Lance is that quarterback. But still, it gives you, you put that in your memory bank, and it gives you the confidence if you're the Cardinals moving forward. That going into a game, if you know it's going to be a defensive battle, yeah, sure, it was only Trey Lance, but you have the confidence like, hey, we've done this before. We've won with our defense before. That's important for the Cardinals, who are now 5-0, the last undefeated team. Meanwhile, for Trey Lance, first start, I know, did not look great. Looked very raw. Didn't have the playmaking ability they were hoping for yesterday. Did not play well. They scored only 10 points, none in the first half. You keep telling me about these great quarterbacks. I'll tell you that these rookies are not ready just yet. Trey Lance is one of them that he still needs more developing.
Buffalo Bills at Kansas City Chiefs.
So the big one last night, very discouraging for the Chiefs. Huge win for the Bills. I finally am a believer in Buffalo. They won 3 straight games by over 20 points, but the 3 games were against teams under 500, bad records. Last night, they go to Kansas City, and they put the hurtin' on the Chiefs, and they beat them by 18 on Sunday Night Football. Even with a hour delay in the middle of the game, on the road, bad weather, hostile environment, Sunday Night Football, the pressure, the bright lights, everything, they played really well. And they just torched that defense. So the Bills, with this win, they're 4-1. They're legitimate. They're one of the best teams in the AFC. But the more interesting story is always the losing team. That's the Chiefs. And the Chiefs are now 2-3. This defense is horrendous. As I said earlier, I don't know if you can make a case that they're better than fifth in the AFC. Browns, Chargers, Ravens, Bills, I'd put all those ahead of the Chiefs right now. And by the way, the Chiefs were holding the Bills and Ravens back in the AFC. The Ravens and the Bills are trying to catch up to the Chiefs. Well, guess what? They both beat them on primetime TV this year. The Ravens beat Patrick Mahomes for the first time. Now the Bills did last night after losing to the Chiefs in the playoffs last year. That's big for these teams. They have passed them. And the Chiefs' defense is a real problem. And offensively, they just haven't been taking care of the football. Four more turnovers last night. And Patrick Mahomes specifically. Interceptions on back-to-back possessions. I know it was a wet night, but how about when he just dropped the snap and lost that fumble? Patrick Mahomes now has 12 interceptions in his last 13 games. He has as many interceptions already this year as all of last year. He's turning it over far too frequently. And I think part of it is that teams have found they're going to play a defense, you know, with two safeties and give you all the underneath stuff. And Mahomes seems to be the type of guy that maybe he's not patient enough. And he's a little greedy, wants to take some chances. He trusts his arm, and he's turning the football over. And these defenses are saying, you're going to have to dink and dunk your way down the field. We're not going to give up the big plays to Tyreek Hill. Additionally, when you have to pay the quarterback and some other positions a lot of money, this is what happens. The defense is terrible for the Chiefs. You're not going to be able to overcome that this year. And not only that, but you look at, I mean, even the playmakers. Travis Kelce, you know, and Tyreek Hill are two great weapons. Otherwise, you know, Hardman's your next receiver. They lost Sammy Watkins, couldn't pay him. And, you know, you start to see some of those holes that they don't have the same depth they once did. And even for Patrick Mahomes, as great as he is, it hurts his performance. The Chiefs' defense is lousy, and they turn over the football too often on offense. They have 10 turnovers in the last three games. Way too many. You can't win by playing bad defense and giving the football away. And the Chiefs were blown out last night. Best case scenario for them right now, fifth best team in the AFC.
Indianapolis Colts at Baltimore Ravens.
Which takes me to this game tonight, Monday Night Football, because the Ravens with a win tonight, and they should win at home, favored by a touchdown against the Colts. You look at that AFC, and again, the Ravens will be ahead of the Chiefs. Ravens, Browns, Chargers, Bills, and then, best-case scenario, you get to the Chiefs. The Ravens should win tonight, but a spot on national TV once again to show, yeah, we are one of the teams, top teams in the AFC, and we are better than Kansas City. They beat them earlier, and they can continue to roll with a win season. Coming up, I have some more thoughts on the Panthers. Yes, a disappointing loss yesterday, but also some positive news coming out of the weekend as well. We'll get to that next. It's the Mara Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You've always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays, where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Dolphin that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
Yeah! Coming up, a positive message for the Panthers over the weekend, even with the lost football game. Tomorrow, Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Just ran through all the games in Week 5 of the NFL season. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcasts. Panthers coughed up one against the Eagles yesterday. Bad loss. Should have had that game. They let it slip away. Sam Darnold did not play well. Three interceptions, one with the game on the line. That's a tough loss to swallow. You choked it away, and especially for Sam Darnold. And I always use the line from Dennis Green, how you feel about your record depends on when the wins were and when the losses were. Right? Like the Panthers are 3-2 right now. But I don't know if you're feeling that great about that 3-2 record because they've lost back-to-back games and the way that they've lost them. And Christian McCaffrey is injured, maybe back this week, but who really knows? So the Panthers, even though you're 3-2, right, still have a winning record, you're probably not feeling quite as good about your team right now. You've lost the last two. Darnold has turned back into a pumpkin without Christian McCaffrey. And that was my warning when that injury news came out. Right, this is the Sam Darnold that we saw in New York when he has to do more on his own, when he's not getting that help around him. Quarterbacks, there are two types of quarterbacks. You're either a truck or a trailer. You're either the truck that's, you know, pulling the team, you're carrying the team, or you're the trailer where you need the team to kind of carry you. Sam Darnold is a trailer, right, where he needs that help. He needs a Christian McCaffrey. He needs a solid defense. He needs some playmakers. He needs good coaching. We saw in the Jets, they tried to make him a truck, and they said, okay, Sam, here you go. Carry us to victories. That's not him. He can't do that. So without Christian McCaffrey, he looks like a different quarterback. And yesterday, when he had a chance to earn his stripes, pardon the pun, right, he didn't get the job done. Threw an interception with the game on the line. So it's a tough loss. It's a bad loss. Tough weekend if you're a Panthers fan. I've been through it countless times with my team. It ruins your whole week. You lose a game like that you should have had won, right? If you line up and you just lose to a better team, you're like, okay, well, you know, they're just better than us. When you cough up a game, it ruins your attitude for the rest of that day as a football fan. And if you're like me, right, it ruins you feel it for the whole week. Until you get to the weekend and you start getting ready for the next game. It still hurts you. So it's tough for the Panthers fans to wake up today after that type of game yesterday. And you hope Christian McCaffrey comes back this week. But through all of this, yesterday, Adam Schefter had a report about the Panthers. And he said that on the day the Panthers traded for Stephon Gilmore, Carolina also tried to sign Jalen Smith, who ended up signing with the Packers. He was the linebacker that was released by the Cowboys, signed with the Packers. We actually got a text on the text line that asked that. Should the Panthers go after Jalen Smith? And while they didn't get him, the Packers did get Smith. The Panthers tried while going out and trading for Gilmore, after going out and getting Darnold this past offseason. And so just like I said with Stephon Gilmore, I'll reiterate it now that I like this by the Panthers. If I'm a fan, I like this. I like this aggressive nature. And that comes from David Tepper and the world he comes from. You look at each sport right now. The most aggressive owner in baseball, and the Dodgers are there, spending tons of money, made that big trade at the deadline. But you know what? The real thrill for the New York Mets was their new owner, Steve Cohen, who came in from, you know, the Wall Street world, from the stock market type of environment. Aggressive guy, has plenty of money to spend. He's going to throw it around. He wants to be aggressive. He wants to go win. He's used to making deals. Being an aggressive guy, he wants to go make money. For the Clippers, right, similar. With Steve Ballmer comes in. From the tech world, same idea. Aggressive, decision-maker, throws money around, wants big names. The Clippers go out and get Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. And the Panthers, they bring in David Tepper. This isn't Arthur Blank, you know, running the Home Depot. Right? David Tepper, same guy. A lot of money, aggressive guy, used to making decisions, working deals. And the Panthers have pulled off 13 trades since January alone, most in the league. And they're in on every player that comes available. Gilmore last week tried to get Smith. They got Henderson the week before. Aggressive works, and that's what you want to see from your team and your owner, and you'll always have a chance. It's what people always point to for the Yankees in years past, the Dodgers now. It's a lot easier to make up the holes in your roster when you're willing to go out there and get whoever you need. When other teams are willing to sit on their hands, like the Tampa Bay Rays, you have a hole in your roster, you think like, wow, we could really use a third baseman. Okay, well, we better develop one. Right, we better go try to find a diamond in the rough here because we're not going to just go out and sign the biggest third baseman on the market in free agency this year. That makes it a little more – you got to work a little bit harder. But for the Panthers, they have an aggressive owner with deep pockets who wants to go out there. And like the Buccaneers, he has to keep up with the Buccaneers. He sees that super team they're building. Everyone that becomes available, they want to go play for Brady. He's trying to build it in Carolina, thinking, hey, we got to do the same. We got to get our hands on some of these guys. Let's make deals. Let's throw money around. Let's bring them in. Let's try to win. And I think that's a good sign for the Panthers. You want that aggressive owner. There's nothing worse than an owner that doesn't care. Ask Oriole fans right now to go back to the baseball experience, reference. Even in the NFL, right? Kind of like the Jaguars. The Bengals for years, notoriously cheap. And ask their fans what it's like. It's great to be in on all these guys, and David Tepper has that style. He wants to go out and get everyone. He wants to put together that super team. You have an aggressive owner, that's the best thing for a sports fan. It may not always work out, but at least you're taking chances. And that's what you want from your team. At least give us a, you know, at least go out and try. Go out and get these players. They need a quarterback, they got Sam Darnold. They need some defensive back help after J.C. Horn, they made two trades. They don't even necessarily, I mean, you know, Shaq Thompson's banged up, right? But you don't necessarily even need Smith. He becomes available. That's okay. Let's look into it. Let's try to get him. That's what you want to see from the Panthers and their aggressive owner coming from that aggressive business world. A lot of these owners, it's just in the family. The Giants, the Bengals going back to the Brown family, the Raiders, right? That was the family business. They're just football owners. The Davis family, I mean, that's where Al Davis, Mark Davis, that's where they get their money from, just owning the Raiders. David Tepper, he was a wheeling and dealing businessman making millions of dollars. Now he's going to try to run the Panthers the same way. I think it's a good thing. Coming up, we'll circle back to college football from Saturday, another wild day, and I'll reiterate my winners and losers from the weekend. The More Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today. Due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Is this the Cars? Who's this?
You are correct.
Okay, yeah, you said Boston band, and it certainly sounds like them, so I don't know this song.
It's been on radio for quite a number of years.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Including the city.
Yeah, I guess so. Hey, let me tell you about Liar Lease Dry Cleaners. Now with their to-go service, they're easier than ever before. It can pick up or deliver right to your home or office. They handle shirts, suits, casual wear, as well as curtains, comforters, and regular old household laundry. Call or text them 843-377-6994 to schedule a free pickup. Mention that you heard about Liar Lease right here on ESPN Radio Charleston and get 20% off your next order. Liar Lease Dry Cleaners. Open the show today talking about winners and losers from college football, as we do every Monday. If you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. But, you know, just from beyond the box score, and to reiterate them here before we wrap up on a Monday afternoon, Georgia obviously comes out as the clear winner, not only for handling their own business, but then you get the Alabama loss as well. Because Georgia and Alabama were at the top tier of college football by themselves. Now Georgia has separated. And now they're like at the end of Titanic. Right when Jack let go. They were on an island, then the island split down the middle, and they've gone their separate ways here, and Georgia now has moved beyond and away from Alabama. They're obviously the number one team in the country, and they're number one during a season for the first time since 1982. They handled their business against Auburn with a backup quarterback on the road. Alabama couldn't handle their business on the road against a backup quarterback with Texas A&M, which takes me to my number two winner, Jimbo Fisher, for the job that he's done, or did at least, on Saturday. Because this was referenced earlier this afternoon, even from a listener who called in, but everyone was comparing him to Kevin Sumlin. Right now, Sumlin had more wins at this point. Jimbo's getting paid so much money. What is he bringing to the program? Yada, yada, yada. Well, you saw why on Saturday. You saw what this team is capable of, or this program, or even this coach. And to be the first, finally, to beat Saban as a former assistant and to do it the way they did. Backup quarterback at home, full house, and to do it with your offense. The defense played well in the first half. You got some big special teams plays. You know, you force some turnovers. but you won by scoring over 40 points for an offense that really has struggled this year. And Jimbo is an offensive coach. And in the biggest game of the year, the offense got the job done. They got the winning score at the end. Got down there for the field goal. Right, big time for Jimbo Fisher. Iowa would be my third biggest winner for pulling out that game. Yeah, maybe. Thanks in large part because of a quarterback injury against Penn State. But you won the game. That's all you can do. And they now are ranked the highest they have been since 1985. They've won 12 straight. And that was a big win. I think Iowa runs the table all the way to the Big Ten Championship, and then we'll see what happens. And the other big winners, I also said Kentucky because of how they followed up the game against Florida. It's easy to get excited for Florida. But what about the next week when you have a struggling LSU coming to town and you feel really good about yourselves after that win against Florida? Can you come back with that same effort, or will you have that emotional letdown we see so often, especially from teams not used to being in that situation? And Kentucky did not have that letdown. Instead, they went up 28 points on LSU and won again, and they now are ranked the highest they have been in a decade. But they'll really be tested this Saturday on the road against Georgia as a 24-point underdog. Oklahoma, of course, a big winner Saturday for beating Texas, for pulling off the biggest comeback we've had in that rivalry history, and also for finding the better quarterback on the roster. It's not Spencer Rattler. Oklahoma now has the second highest playoff chance, according to ESPN FPI, 59% chance of making it. And the last winner, I thought, from Saturday was Josh Heupel, the head coach of Tennessee, for the job that they did Saturday offensively and just in winning that game, showing the gap that does exist right now between them and South Carolina, and showing how good of an offense this can be, at least against lesser defenses. They should be bowl eligible this year, and they should have the best record for a first-year head coach for Tennessee in 30 years. And the losers, well, BYU. You had everything in front of you. You coughed it up at home to a losing Boise State team. And you did so by committing 4 turnovers, 9 penalties. You were a top 10 team. You could have been that Cinderella going to the playoff, but not anymore. Ed Orgeron for getting blown out to Kentucky. LSU's 500 since winning the national title. ACC, I also thought, came out once again as a loser because Wake Forest is the best you can offer. They hardly snuck out of there with a win against Syracuse. I don't know if I would trust them to represent my conference, to be the last hope right now. Which takes me to UNC as another big loser. To lose to Florida State. Mack Brown still has never beaten Florida State in his career. He's 0-11. And now, in his 3 years back at UNC, they're essentially 500. 2 games over 500 against the Power 5. They were a top 10 team to begin the year. They may finish under 500 this year. We had such higher expectations for this UNC team. And the teams that they lose to. Georgia Tech, Florida State at home, even Virginia Tech to start the year. It has been a bad year and not a good run for Mack Brown in his return. Not as good as we thought it'd be. And the other losers, preseason prognosticators who seemingly have gotten everything wrong about this season in college football. From the top 25 polls to the top quarterbacks, right, a la Spencer Rattler, to everything else. And lastly, sorry, but UMass. You got your first win in 2 years. Big deal, right? That's serious. That was a big deal. But don't charge the field. Don't rush the field for beating UConn. That makes the program, that makes it look weak. Right, that'd be breaking into a big celebration for catching a 5-yard pass. Like, come on. What are you doing? You beat UConn. You should have. Congrats on your first win in 2 years, but you don't need to storm the field for beating UConn. Winners and losers from the college football weekend on Saturday. And if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. We'll wrap up your Monday next. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
What a funky finish to your Monday afternoon here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Monday Night Football tonight. I'll take the Ravens to win and cover the 7. And a big spot for Baltimore in a winnable game. And if they get it done as they should, right, again, you're looking at the AFC. Things are starting to shift, at least through the first 5 weeks of this season, where the Chiefs are behind the Ravens, behind the Bills, the teams that have been chasing them, even the Browns and the Chargers now. We'll see what happens tonight. Hey, if you ever miss anything from the show, you can always catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. This also allows me to remind you that you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go, not only on demand, but also live. Stream the Mara Midday Show online at charlestonsportsradio.com through your smart speaker, TuneIn Radio, or our free app. Download the app by searching ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Download it today to start listening from anywhere in the world. Appreciate listeners checking in from 10 different states and 3 different countries on this Monday afternoon. You can also find the show on demand in that free app, online at charlestonsportsradio.com by clicking on our show page, or wherever you listen to your podcast, just search ESPN Radio Charleston. The Braves scoreless in the bottom of the fifth in Game 3 against the Brewers. We'll see if they can pull it out. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow, starting at noon. It's the Mara Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.